When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This was a highlight performance there on Sunday when Associate took out the wild card of the country championships at Goulburn.
Then came Sir Ming. Wider out, we've got Gundy Guy. Where's Associate? In traffic and still seven off the lead. Dorami in front, tackled by Zuatica. Then Sir Ming from Discreet Miss. And then Rouge Loon, Associate, leaving the run very late, but he's starting to come hard as Zuatica hit the front. 100 to go. Look at Associate eating up the ground. Associate went to Zuatica, hit the front. Big win. Associate has beaten Zuatica, come from last. Third, Bon Frankie Orr.
Yeah, they don't do what Associate did there on Sunday to take out the wild card of the country championships. This son of star witness, geez, he's building up a good record, and that was his best win. And Danielle Siebes, a superstar trainer based at Goulburn, and she joins us now. Danielle, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you.
That was a big win from your galloper.
Yeah, he's a very nice horse. We've always had an opinion of him. I think every rider that sat on him, whether it be trial or race day, has come back and only had positive things to say and thoughts that he's, you know, above country grade, which is always nice to hear. So we were very glad to see him kind of put it all together on Sunday.
His record is a handy enough record for a horse on the rise. I guess that he does make the job a little bit harder for him at times when he gets that far back, but it's exciting when he can finish like he did it and the race pans out to suit him.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Zach's words when he came back was he won from an unwinnable position. He was quite impressed. He jumps okay, but he just doesn't seem to muster. Not over 1400 at this level anyway. You know, there's horses that are 1200 metre horses and they just really go hard in these kind of races. So just leaves him with a bit of work to do. But I thought on Sunday he showed a bit of racecraft. He was able to kind of keep his balance coming around and shoulder his way into the clear, which he hasn't been able to do to date. He's just been a bit green and he's a big horse and he loses a bit of momentum and takes a bit to get himself back together. But he showed a bit more skill in his racing and that was the difference, I think.
He's $11 with Bet365 for the country championship final on the opening day of the championship. So in just under 2 weeks' time, you must be looking forward to seeing what he can do. And it's such a terrific initiative from Racing New South Wales. I think they do it really well with the Kosciuszko and this country championships. And I guess you must be really looking forward to it now.
Yeah, I am. It's such a big deal for the stable. You know, we've got a live chance in a $1 million race. Without those incentives, you know, you as a country trainer, they're, you know, once in a lifetime opportunities, and this still could be that. But he's a horse on the rise. 1400 is the minimum distance for him. So yeah. I think, you know, Randwick, high pressure, there's some rain forecast. He loves the wet. So it's going to be a grueling test, I would imagine. And we've got a horse with a big finish, and he's just going to relish the conditions there.
And I enjoy the country championship format that you have to go and qualify. But I would imagine when you think that you've got a horse that's good enough to win a race like this, it's nerve-wracking trying to get into the race.
He's had a lot of setbacks, this horse. He started his preparation with a sinus infection and he had two rotten teeth and they had to be removed after his first up run. He wasn't going so well. And It's just a credit. He's a good horse, you know. Yeah. Most horses that have had the preparation he's had, they wouldn't be here. And he's just, the last month, he's really thrived. It's really exciting for the stable.
Tell us a little bit about your stable, Danielle. We watch you from afar, and all of our form experts, Mickey Gadd and Luke Ovanessian in Country New South Wales, they're big fans of yours, and your strike rate speaks for itself. But how long you've been in the game, and how many horses do you have at Goulburn?
We've got 28 in work, and, yeah, and there's always quite a few in pre-training and things. Got some really good supporters. Triple J Racing, that the owner share in this horse, they came on board, and they purchased a share in him along the journey. They're a young group, and our biggest supporters are Champion Thoroughbreds. Jason Abrahams has really been supporting me the last couple of seasons, and we've got young horses for the team, and they're starting to come through the ranks. So we're young and passionate and enthusiastic, and we want to be heading north with the horses and going to town and building a nice team. I had my license about 5-6 years. Unfortunately, my dad passed away and left me with the horses, so I took my license out quite young, but I'm really enjoying it, and got a great team of staff, and my partner Aaron Day, he's works alongside me and he's a farrier, and we're just really lucky to have good support and good staff.
And it's been in your blood, as you mentioned, with your family, and I know it would have been really difficult to take over when you did from your father, but has it exceeded your expectations a little bit, Danielle? I guess you have to grow up pretty quickly in a way as well.
Yeah, you do. And I think that's one of the biggest parts of the win on Sunday is the sacrifices you make in your day-to-day life that people perhaps don't understand. You know, it's difficult to have much of a life. Everybody in the game's the same. But, you know, you give it away a little bit younger and things. So that side of it's really nice to do it alongside Aaron too. You know, we're both very, very passionate and a bit overachievers, and we always, you know, want to take on plenty and do our best. So, I really am enjoying it. It wasn't really a decision that I thought I would make until probably maybe 40s or so. I was riding trials and looking to be a jockey, but fate dealt me another card, and I'm pretty happy with it now.
was it an easy decision to take over? Because you could have easily went down a different path, as you pointed out. Or is it a decision that you thought, geez, I would love to continue Dad's legacy and continue training horses, or you thought, well, this was an opportunity that I can either go one way or the other, really?
Yeah, I suppose I kind of mulled it over for a few weeks, and I just stepped into Dad's position when he went into hospital, and it just kind of ran as it did, and then I guess I got a little bit of a taste for it, and it was important to me because Dad is in the industry his whole life. You know, he works in Old Mayfield Smith, and it was his dream to train horses, and he put out myself and my siblings first, and, you know, you weren't winning $1 million country-only races back then. So, you know, he put us all through school and waited until I was kind of going to university before he got to live his dream, and then working alongside him and just seeing the passion, and he's a terrific horseman. I think I just kind of caught the bug. Blood, the horse is always my blood. I've been riding since I was 4. But, I kind of learnt to love the game perhaps later than some. I was kind of 18, 19, 20 about that stage. But when it was, you know, what he'd built and kind of left behind, and it could just go if I didn't take the reins, I didn't want to do that. I wouldn't change it now.
And I think it's a terrific story, and I love your passion and what you've been able to achieve. But I enjoy the younger trainers these days, especially that they seem like you do learn from your father, and you've learned working throughout the industry as well. I think you've been on stud farms, and you've seen how different parts of the industry work. But do you enjoy the challenges? Like you introduce new ideas and learn as you go as well. Has it exceeded your expectation, or has it changed your philosophy on training horses from from when you first started to now?
Yeah, definitely. I guess, like you said, I've picked up boxes in big stables. I did a lot with Paul Massara under Dad, who was his foreman, when I was still at school, and then pre-training places, breaking in places, stud farms. I've been around it all. So, I've seen all the different facets and learnt off a lot of people and been in places where, you just had a stable and maybe a day yard or something, no facilities, all the way up to, Arrowfield, where they have everything.
Yeah.
So, you pick up little bits and pieces and you apply what works for the individual horse. I think that's something, regardless of how big my stable might ever end up, I like to individualise, a lot of horses can get missed, and obviously you need to have systems, but also you need to look at the individual. I think that's something, and we just try to be honest with our owners. That's another thing that I think I value. I've seen a lot of different sides of it, and I think if you're just open with your communication and you're honest, you won't get yourself into trouble, and the horses will come out best.
What would your philosophy or what would your advice be to the younger people in the industry that are trying to live their dream and get into the training ranks themselves, or want to make a real career out of this game?
Yeah, well, I think that you can. I think that's the first thing you need to realise. And when you work hard and you're careful with who you become associated with, you think about all situations from different sides and do what feels right, then, inevitably you find good people, good owners, good staff, and, you can build yourself from there. It's really hard work, but it's very rewarding, and you do it for yourself at the end of the day, and the feeling that you get, like we did on Sunday.
Well, you keep on inspiring, Danielle. I hope Associate flashes down that outside and wins that country championship. As you pointed out, it's massive for the stable, and hats off to Racing New South Wales, Peter Volandis and the team to have an eye, like to have a vision like this to, and every country trainer I talk to, whether it's the Kosciuszko or whether it's the country championship, it's been massive for their stable. It's helped them get new horses and better horses into their stable. And I think it's great. It's one of the highlights of the championships for me, the country championship. So you go and get them with Associate, enjoy it, and you'll be the pride of Goulburn. You probably already are, Danielle, but they'll be super proud.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. We'll bring our best game next Saturday.
100%. And what about, we've got a lot of listeners out there that would love, I think we've got shares in a few horses here that we get. The syndicates are working really well, but if they want to get involved in your stable, how do they go about doing that?
We've got a website.
Yep.
My last name's hard to spell. S-E-I-B. German. So just www.cyberracing.com.au and pop on there, and there's horses available, and you just flick it, just sends an automatic email through to me if you're interested. And we've got a couple of nice ones, and I think off the back of Sunday we might head off to the Easter sale and see if we can pick one up.
100%. Surely Mr. Massara can give you a deal there at Arrowfield.
Yeah, you should know me.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks for that, Danielle. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Fernando Phil goes up to third around Smooth Plain. Flying Zulu's caught off the track. Here comes Artie was next from Shimmer Shadow and West on Strobe. Explicit turns. Four in front of God Attitude. Smooth Plain running on from Shimmer Shadow in the straight. And Explicit clear. And Explicit wins the Shepparton Cup by 2.5 on Smooth Plain, Shimmer Shadow, and Fernando Phil's run fourth. Next in was God.
Jeez, he's an exciting greyhound, especially when he does that. That there, like he did on Saturday night, he jumped from box number one and then he exploded away to smash a high quality field there in that Shepparton Cup on Saturday night. Another big race success for Jason Thompson, and the champion trainer joins us. Jason, good morning.
Yeah, how are you, Gareth?
It was impossible to beat him, really, when he's in that type of mood.
Oh, well, the box helped, and when he got the start right and was able to go to the front, he was going to be pretty hard to beat.
That's the key to him, to get him to jump like that consistently, or is that a? And I think we sometimes forget he's still a relatively young dog in this type of leg that he's been able to compete in over the last couple of months.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, he's he was only two in January, and he did miss 3 months of racing. So, you know, for a dog that's, I think he's had 18 starts now, he's still, yeah, he's relatively inexperienced. And to have the record that he's got already, I think it's a pretty good effort by the dog. And, you know, we'd love to see him begin like he did Saturday night every start, but, you know, they're animals and they can get it wrong. So if he gets it right more times than he gets it wrong, well, you know, he's always going to be pretty competitive.
So from a greyhound's point of view, when is their sweet zone? When are they at their best?
Oh, look, I always think from probably, you know, 2 3/4 to the next 6 months, sort of till 3 1/4.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously by then they've had normally sort of 30-odd starts and over varying distances and at different tracks, so they're more accepting of wherever they go, that they just know that they're in a race. And I think, you know, most animals, it's, you know, if they start off and have a very good record early, well, it just usually means that, you know, once you get to that age, that, you know, hopefully they stay the same, if not, you know, sort of find a bit.
So he heads to Perth now for the Sandgroper?
Yeah, yeah. Look, he'll probably have one more race here before he goes. The plan is to get him over there probably, I think I worked out it'll be Thursday fortnight,
yeah.
And he'll have a trial on the Saturday in between races, and then it'll be on to the Sandgroper on the Thursday. So the plan we've sort of got with him, long as nothing goes wrong between now and then, should have him, you know, what I believe is, you know, couldn't have him in any better order.
Yeah, and does he stay over there or do you come back in between trials and racing?
No, he'll stay there.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll stay there. So, obviously it's, you know, such a long way to go, and we get, I think, to get him over there a couple of days before his trial, and then trial, have another 4 or 5 days to, you know, settle in, and then look forward to the race on the Thursday night.
So he is, with Bet365, he's the $3 favourite from Big Energy, returns home, and Morton at $6. Hector Fawley's got a slot now, representing Ladbrokes at $8.50. So it's going to be one hell of a race, the Sandgroper.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think the other thing is, you know, you got to respect the locals, whatever local dogs end up going in there. I'm sure there'll be, you know, two or three, and just with their local knowledge of the track, they're always hard to beat. So, I mean, just got to look at the Perth Cup, you know.
Yeah.
There was good Victorians over there, and the local dog won it. So we're going to get over there, you know, in good order, but, you know, still need a lot of luck.
What about from a Golden Easter Egg point of view, how many dogs are you sending to Sydney?
No, we've got two up there.
Yeah.
Just Alpha Zulu and Tim Zoo, and I sent Zulu Blast up the Association Cup. So they went up there Sunday, and we'll trial today and race Saturday.
Yeah, and the Easter Egg's a great race. There's so many different options now for your greyhound trainers in a way, with so much prize money up for grabs.
I think we're very spoilt with all these good races on, and I actually think it's good that there are races that somewhat clash a little bit, because, you know, you don't really want to see one dog go through and dominate every race. You like to see it spread around and get different dogs to different races, and I think it's healthy for the sport.
Who's your best chance to take out the Golden Easter Egg this year?
Oh, I think Tim Zoo.
Yeah.
He hasn't raced since he won the Australia Cup, but that was the plan, from racing the Australia Cup and then give him a little break, freshen him up, and have him wound up ready for the Easter Egg. So I looked the other day, I think he's about $14, $16. I think that's pretty good value.
No, we're getting $26 with Bet365. I can't believe the price, really.
That's ridiculous. That, yeah. You know, if I might be a bad judge, but $26, Tim Zoo, that is just ridiculous.
It's disrespectful. That's what it is, Jace. We've got all.
Well,
we might have a lot of your ownership group listen to this show, because they're sending text messages in now.
Yeah, yeah. And knowing the way they bet, they'll take $10 and wind him into $10. So, you know, they're not very bold with putting up big odds and then taking a bet.
Yep. So this is exciting then. So $26 there for Tim Zhu, and for Alpha, you're getting $26 as well. I guess sometimes, and I enjoy my greyhound racing. I'm not an expert, but I love watching it, especially the better dogs, Jace. But over my time analysing this beautiful sport, is that it's not easy to travel your horse, your greyhounds interstate, but especially to Wentworth Park. Wentworth Park is a lot of superstar Victorians have come unstuck there in a way at Wentworth Park.
Yeah, they have, but I think the advantage, if you can get them up there and they're staying up there for the 3-week series, and I think it's an advantage that it is 3 weeks, so you know, you can have a bit of bad luck and still potentially get through to a semi, and then 1-2 into the final, like the Australia Cup. I think that's a pretty good format. So and I think with the Sandgroper on, there's going to be dogs that aren't going to go to the Easter egg that will be in the Sandgroper. I think it's going to be a good series, but it may not be as strong as what it possibly would have been if the Sandgroper, and we've got the Geelong Cup in Victoria on at the same time. So it'll be an interesting series, but you floored me with Tim Zhu at $26.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get on now with Bet365, Jace. I'll put on $20 for you as well.
That'll be good.
I know that you say that it's good to have these different races at the same time to allow different dogs to shine under Group 1 or under the big prize, to try and win the big prize money. The Sandgroper, I don't think, is a Group 1, but it's a slot race. But do you think sometimes that, I think the Sandgroper and the Golden Easter Egg might be a little bit too close together in a way?
Yeah, look they probably are, because it does, you know, when you've got the Easter Egg final on the Saturday night and then the Sandgroper on the Thursday, I mean, you're not really, or, you know, I don't think it'd be fair on a dog to go from an Easter Egg final over to Perth for a Sandgroper. I mean, it's not giving that dog every chance. So if there was, if the Sandgroper was the following week or the Easter Egg was a week earlier, I'm sure that, it'd be quite a different story. In saying that, I mean, there is so many good races on, and the calendar, we've only got 52 weeks in a year. You can only do so much, and I wouldn't like the job of trying to organise a race calendar for any of the codes, because there's a lot on offer in every state.
You sound like J-Mac. You want to have every big race on Sunday and all that, because you've got an embarrassment of riches in a way. You've got superstar greyhounds everywhere you look. I don't think you've had have you had a better kennel of stars in your backyard?
Oh, I think we had a similar kennel probably 5 or 6 years ago, but I don't think there was as many good races on when they were running around. And whilst they travelled, I think now there's so many good races on. Obviously, the Sandgroper's only been going, this is only the second year, and races like the Phoenix is coming up, I think, to their fourth year. So every year there seems to be another good race on the calendar. We're just very, very lucky.
Yeah. Hey, mate, go and get them. It was wonderful to see Explicit do what he did there in the Shepparton Cup. He's going to be hard to beat in a Sandgroper if he can jump and draw an inside box at Cannington. They won't catch him if he jumps and leads there.
Well,
and
look, I mean, I don't think the box really matters with him. I think if he just gets to start right, I think he's proven that throughout his career. He won the 10 lay out of box 6, so it's just about timing, getting the start right, and if he can do that, it'll be, I think it'll be pretty hard to beat.
I better let you go so you can get on. I already got on for you anyway. We'll get on for you with Bet365, the world's favourite online betting brand. But go and get Timmy Zhu now, and let's hope he can do the job on the opening night of the Golden Easter Egg, and then get through to the semi-final, and then get through to the final. And, we'll cheer him home.
No worries. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks. This man's a superstar. Andy Gath can catch a wave. He's heading across the Nullarbor to compete in the Nullarbor, which is harness racing slot race in WA, worth $1.5 million. It's an interesting situation for everybody involved in this race, because if the real catch a wave turns up, you'd be mighty hard to beat. And Andy Gath joins us. G'day, Andy.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth.
Jeez, it's like taking on Subiaco. I mean, West Coast at Subiaco back in the 90s sometimes taking on the Western Australians on their home deck. But your horse has got plenty of ability. There's no doubt about that. What twisted your arm or maybe changed your mind to say, okay, then I'll take on this challenge and head across to the West?
Yeah, obviously, it's probably the greatest challenge in harness racing is going to WA and taking on their own horses. And we know how hard it is and how difficult it is. But, he missed it on the Miracle Mile because of the foot issue. And we probably had to forego a slot at the Cambridge too because we didn't really know how long he'd be off the scene for. So, sort of ran out of races and there's sort of not much for him at the moment. So, we thought an opportunity that a slot becoming available. So we grabbed it with open arms and looking forward to the challenge ahead of us.
Now, this is your biggest challenge, Andy.
Well, it is. It's up there. We know what he can do and what he can't do. And, he's probably a little bit at the crossroads at the moment in some of his performances. He's probably... but I'm still confident I can get him right on the night. He's just so big in condition. He just needs a bit of constant racing and heavy workload at home, and I'm sure I've got time up my sleeve to have him spot on when the Nullarbor comes around.
So 2,700 metres, can you get him to stay out a trip like that?
I think so, as long as he settles. I think it's 2,500 actually, the Nullarbor, and Fremantle Cup is a bit further.
Yeah.
The week after. So, I know a lot of people say he doesn't sort of can't run out a long trip, but I'm sure he can. You know, Hunter Cup, he just sort of over-raced and got too keen, and a couple of others he had issues as well. So, I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, 2,500 metres is the Nullarbor. I guess in a situation like that, is it a case where, in a way, did you learn? Like, when I go and if you analyse, and I talked to Darren Carroll about this yesterday, if you said to myself and you go, Gareth, rank the top five runs of the season in harness racing. Now, Leap to Fame would dominate that particular table. He would probably be in four or five of the top performances I've seen this season in harness racing. But the best performance I think I've seen, maybe a Leap to Fame in the slot race there in Sydney. He was probably the biggest effort, but I think the second biggest effort was your horse in a Victoria Cup. Like, they don't do what he did that night. And you went forward, but then you sat him up. Is that the way that you need to drive him sometimes, I think? Even if you do draw well, do the I'm the mighty Quinn Gary Hall Senior philosophy, like, Junior, whatever happens, you do not come out of the gate anymore with this horse.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit the case too. We did come out the gate with him last week, and this week it's 1,700. Barry draws out yet, so there's won plenty of races in front, but he probably has changed a little bit. He probably likes chasing horses down, and I think over in Perth I was pretty keen to go because the tempo of the racing over there would probably suit him. Sitting off speed, there's a really high cruising speed, and they're probably last quarters and probably last halves probably aren't as quick as they are on this side of the country. So I think if he just sort of got to draw the slot in and the speed was on the whole way, it would really suit him.
Yeah, and Gloucester Park won't be any problems for him?
I doubt it. He scoots around our track. I've got a half-mile track, and, I doubt it'd be an issue. But probably pretty keen to run him the week before the Nullarbor anyway. He flies out on the 8th of April, so he'll be there. And Kate can have a look at the track, and the horse can have a look at the track. So, he'll just sort of give you a little bit of information, head into the Nullarbor.
Now, tell Kate, don't get fooled and be scared of those drivers in the West. They're all bluff.
especially
Junior. Like, he thinks he's the king and all that, and he goes, well, I bet you. Like, he rang me the other day and said, Cameron Hart won't be coming back after what they did to him, three wide without cover, on $1.30 favourite. So they're very, because they were embarrassed last year, Andy. Like, they were completely...
Cameron pulled their pants there.
It was such a sad, sad night for harness racing in WA, and they got it completely outdriven by those two young kids from New South Wales.
No, they're pretty hostile when someone from either state comes over there, but I'm sure Kate will hold her own. And they've got a lot of great female drivers at the moment too that are dominating the game.
Yes.
Boys as well.
Well, she's family in a way, isn't she, Kate? Because the Thompson family, of course, Uncle David and cousin Meg. They're over there in WA. So she's sort of got that WA association just a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It probably helps a little bit. One of my best friends over there, Justin Warwick's over there too.
Yes.
So we're able to catch up. So a bit of a mini holiday for us.
And JT Warwick, he owns greyhounds these days. Have you ever met a bloke that whenever I caught up with him in Melbourne the other day. This is Justin Warwick. He's a Perth Cup winning trainer. He won a Hunter Cup. He's a genius. But now he's breeding greyhounds and he's got a superstar. I've never met anyone like it, really.
No, it doesn't matter. You know, he's had a couple good gallopers along the way too. She's a belter and everything. So, yeah, everything he touches turns to gold.
What about, have you got any winners coming up for us, Andy?
Yeah, I've got no runners till Friday. And Saturday, and the fields aren't out yet, but I got a 2-year-old Billy at Cranbourne on the older horse, my little Beau.
Yeah.
She's only had the one start, but I think she's, you know, well above average and she's going to draw pretty good. So I think, without seeing the field, I think she'd be my best chance over the weekend.
I see that Jason Grimson's coming back across the Nullarbor as well, with Hot and Treacherous gaining a slot. So there's going to be some pace on anyway, which is a good sign for your horse.
Well, you know, as my horse, he sort of does your head in sometimes, but the better the field, the better he performs.
100%.
So we want a terrific field. So,
yeah,
you know, every good horse that comes over suits us.
Yeah, sitting on his back and he running like he does, look out, they won't. I'd rather be on your horse. So we wish you the best of luck, Andy. Great to see you heading across to the Nullarbor. You go and stick it up, those sand gropers.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, Gareth. And I'll do my best.
Junior reckons he's on a superstar, never-ending, whatever. Like, we'll see how good he is when we see some decent horses come across to the west.
Yeah, I might uncover him when I get there. I might take that mask off him that he drives in.
Well, don't do that. That'll scare everybody. Keep that mask on. Good on you, Andy.
Not a problem.
And there comes Chainsaw, making steady ground and full head of steam out wider. Feroce, though, the one to beat with 150 metres left to go over a length on Bizdew's, trying to eat into the margin. But Feroce's strong. And Feroce's got a win on debut. And Dominic Sutton with a home track win. Feroce won it by
two. Yeah, well done to Feroce. Geez, he's a smart customer, son of Super Seth and Dom Sutton. That was his first winner for only his second start, saddling up a runner in the early part of his training career. Good on you, Dom. Well done, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
Geez, it's been a pretty handy start to your training career. How have you found it so far?
Yeah, it was nice to obviously get the first one nice and early. But it's been a nice sort of long build-up. We made sure that we took our time with the horses and, had them ready to fire sort of, you know, when we wanted to have our first few runners. So, like I said, it was good just to get that one out of the way nice and quick.
How many have you got in work?
So we've just got the 6 in work at the moment. Yeah. We've got about 20 on the books with about 4 or 5 ready to come in and a few yearling purchases that we bought this year as well.
So what's the process then? What do you need to do and how difficult is it to start your own business? Because it is a business these days when you start trading horses.
Yeah, it's to be honest, if I knew the hoops that I had to jump through when I first set out, I might have thought twice about it. But no, it's quite a long process to, like you said, to set the business up and sort of go down avenues that I've never experienced before. And the main thing that I did was make sure that I had the right people around me who understood all the different sides of, you know, the business aspect and, you know, the building of the stables. So that was the main thing because, you know, I'm very new to obviously that side of things and just making sure that I had the right people there to help me along the way.
Yeah, and has it exceeded your expectations?
It has, yeah. Look, I've sort of been thinking about it for a while and, you know, you do think about how the first winner will feel. To be honest, it was relief just to get that one out of the way. Even though we'd only had it was only the third runner, you can feel sort of, you know, you're putting yourself under more pressure each time you saddle a horse up. So it was nice to sort of have that off the back. And like I said, it was quite a relief. But it doesn't feel like work. You know, you're turning up, you're doing something that you love, and you're dealing with an animal that, you know, just great to work with. And I've got a good support team around me. So, it's very pleasurable at the moment.
You're just mentioning how lucky you are and how it might have just exceeded your expectations just a little bit since you've started off your training career, mate. When did you realise, for those young trainers out there that are, or the young people in the game that are working in stables, when did you realise that you really wanted to have a crack and try and make it as a horse trainer?
Yeah, so it's been something that's always been in the back of my mind ever since I left the UK and headed over to Australia. Obviously, you know, setting up here and starting in life, I thought at some point I need to, you know, think about what I'm going to do with my future. And it was always on the cards in the back of my mind. And it was whether, you know, which avenue I was going to take to get there, whether that was through, you know, a partnership with a trainer or go out in my own right. And, you know, I decided with the latter and wanted to build something that was my own and start from scratch and, essentially, you know, build my own brand.
And Froche is the son of Super Seth, purchased at the Ready to Run sale. So that's been a terrific buy. And that Ready to Run sale with New Zealand Bloodstock, it's been a sale that's been able to produce many a good horse over the last couple of years.
Exactly. You know, it was a sale that we targeted. You know, we were under the impression that I needed to have some horses in the stable that weren't going to be too far away from racing. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a sale that, you know, like you said, a lot of good horses have come out of that sale. So we had no problems in heading over there and made sure that I had the right team, Bloodstock team around me to help me select the right horses. And, you know, it gives you a different aspect when you're looking at a horse, being able to watch the way that they gallop and move. And you essentially can look at, you know, the type of animal that you want to train. So, we were very keen to head over there and was fortunate enough to pick up three while we were over there.
So what do you do with Froche now?
Look, he's bounced through that run from the other day. It literally pulled up like he'd had a track gallop. So we are obviously in the understanding that he's going to be better as a three-year-old once he matures and gets over the ground. So we will be just fully listening to him. And if he shows any signs of wanting the paddock, then we won't hesitate and tip him out. But there's a nice race for him at Caulfield Saturday week, another 1,200-metre race. And if he runs another good race there, then he can sort of head towards the Anzac Day Stakes 3 weeks after that. And that should be his preparation.
Well, love what you've been able to do in the early part of your career, Dom. And you're moving to Ballarat as well. So you're leaving Pakenham for Ballarat.
Yes,
to hang out with Calvin McAvoy and the like. Is that the reason you've had a gut full of Moody and Stokes, so you decided to hang out with a few of the younger fellas in Ballarat?
Yeah, no, not quite the reasoning, but no, look, everyone's been great for us down at Pakenham starting out. They've been incredibly helpful. It was just purely because of, you know, looking into the future and growing the stable and the business. The way that Pakenham is obviously it's not, the stables aren't owned by the club. You've got to purchase a plot yourself and develop your own land. And I'm just not in that position at the moment where I can build my own facility. So I'm currently in a shared barn. So and we're sort of quickly outgrowing it. So I had to think about where we're going to be heading in the future. And the opportunity came up at Ballarat to take over a barn of 32 boxes. And obviously, it's an unbelievable facility up there. A lot of good horses were trained out of there. You know, Group 1 winner was trained out of there this weekend. So, and good trainers are up there. So, it looked like the perfect option for us moving forward. And, you know, that was the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it's a great place to train. And, as you pointed out, there's been so much success around that Ballarat region. And, we wish you the best of luck, Dom. But love young trainers having a vision, having a dream and having a crack. And you're doing exactly that. And it's great to see you have so much success or have success so early on your career. And can't wait to see what Froche can do later down the track in this preparation anyway. And we appreciate your time, mate. And good luck with the move and good luck with the team.
No, thank you for having me, Gareth.